I thoroughly have enjoyed this meeting. I'm looking forward to getting home, but I ain't no hurry. One thing about it, I'm blessed this evening. I can't read after other men. And I'm blessed that I spent most of my years of studying is just simply the King James Version of Thus Saith the Word of God. That's what got me out of religion, and I think that's what can keep me out of false religion. I like Brother Tim come another way, but I came by listening to the Word. David said in Psalms 119 and verse 11, I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word, the gospel, is very important. Had not somebody believed in the gospel, we wouldn't have had this 40th anniversary. There wouldn't have been nobody to establish something. You've got to have something to base your argument on. If the Bible ain't so, we have nowhere to argue about anything. Evolution be just as good as teaching God created the heavens and the earth. We'd have nowhere to stand to make our argument. So the word is important. It won't give us life, but it will teach us how to live the life that the living word gives us. It won't give us life, but he'll bring that life and immortality to light. Paul instructed Timothy, and he said all scripture, not just some of it, but all scripture is inspired of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. You see, the Word of God, is it profitable for doctrine? That tells you what's right. For reproof, that tells you what's wrong. For correction, that tells you how to get right. And for instruction, that tells you how to stay right. So you see, without the Word of God, we have no basis for any of this. It wouldn't matter what we believed, would it? But now it's profitable for doctrine to tell us what is right. It's profitable for reproof, that tells us what is wrong. And then he'll correct us to get us right, if we take correction. And then he'll instruct us in righteousness, which teaches us how to stay right. Now, I'll tell you, a church will never stay right apart from following the Word of God. Amen. David said, I've hid thy word in my heart. It's not all that important in me understanding that you hide it in your heart, but it's important that I hide it in my heart for it to affect me. I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a good place to hide it. You remember that the disciples were eaten and they rebuked our Lord for the disciples was eaten with unwashed hands. You know, if it hadn't been for sin, you wouldn't even have washed your hands for ye, would you? You prove every time you wash your hands before you eat that you are a stinking sinner. But you know, he said, well now, it ain't what goeth in a man that defileth a man, but what cometh out. For out of the heart proceeds evil and murder and adultery and stealing and all the things. And he went on, in case he didn't get you, and he said, and wrath. Any of you ever been mad about anything? It come out of the same place. If that fella killed somebody, it come out of the same place. It's a cesspool of evil within us. And you will never get it out by the Word of God, but you can control it. You see, and you hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. Paul said, I have not known sin except the commandment said, thou shalt not commit adultery, said, thou shalt not covet. Listen, when that verse hit old Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus then, when it hit him, he found out, Lord have mercy, I'm just as bad as a murderer because I'm a covetous man. I believe he felt it. When God makes His laws real to us, then we feel guilty before God. And that's been used then as that schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You see, as an old Gentile, I never was under no kind of law. I was only a law unto myself, my conscience either excusing or accusing me. Don't you understand? None of my ancestors that was Gentiles ever had to take a lamb and slay it, you know. The Egyptians didn't do it. Which is a good lesson. It teaches you that if you ain't guilty of slaying the Lamb of God, you'll never go in the strength of the benefits of it. The Egyptians don't get out of Egypt. They ain't no got no lamb. And they not only slayed the lamb, but they ate it. And I'll tell you, and you with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. And that's a strength for us now. But we that was His enemies, you know, now have we been made friends with God. If you weren't His enemy, if you weren't God in Christ reconciling the world, you're not a part of that world that was reconciled if you didn't need reconciliation, did you? Hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's out of the heart that precedes all of this evil. I wish I could tell you that once one has been born again, that all of his depravity was gone. And I'd tell you that, but if you'd read the Bible, you'd find out I wasn't telling you the truth. Romans 8 says that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And so we still have that. So we need something to keep the old man in his word of God. Controlling the old man. I'll tell you, and I can tell you the truth, I ain't never lost my temper. I've had that thing all my life. And I don't expect I'll ever get rid of it till I breathe my last out in this world. But when I lose it, it gets where it hurts me worse and worse. And the more of the Word of God that you'll hide in your heart will cause your sin to strike a deeper blow when you disobey the Word of God. I've hid it in my heart. He didn't say that I quit sinning, but that I might not sin against God. He'll help you and do you good too. It's the only hope in this time for us to conquer the old man. I don't believe that which is born of God sins. I believe the seed remaineth in us and sinneth not. But I believe that the old man will keep sinning, and the only thing that will keep him in check is thus saith the Word of God. Very important that we study it and hear it preached, and the more we hear it, the better off we are. Now let us think, we need to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. Don't you think that our sins has already caused God enough suffering? Don't you think even that our sin... Now, I realize that we have two problems. I thank God one of them's gone. There was a time when I was dead in trespassing sin. That was sin in my nature. There's a lot of difference in sin in your nature and sin in your life.
Yes, sir.
Now, a baby's got just as much sin in its nature when it's born as it'll ever have. But he ain't got no sin in his life yet. But he will have if he lives long enough because it's in the nature. In that same Psalms 51, it said that I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we've got sin in our nature, and we've got sin in our life. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the remedy for both. But I believe that no more am I dead in trespass and sin, if so be that I've been born again. But now I need something for this that's in my life to keep my life. You see, the Word of God is a book that will never give you a position. It can't give you a position. Did you know that me hearing about Jesus dying in my room instead, oh, how it flooded my soul. And how it flooded my soul to find out it wasn't nobody going to go to hell if I preached or didn't preach, or heaven because if I preached or didn't preach. Man, you talking about freeing a man. I was free to preach, thus saith the Word of God. When the Bible talks about us being in Christ before the world began, being saved by His own mercy and grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, that's your position. But if you read somewhere else, it'll tell you, there's none good, no, not one. That's your condition. That don't have a thing to do with your position. But the Word of God that we hide in our heart is to improve our condition. It ain't to give us no position. But oh, if we could get our condition a little closer to our position. Isn't it strange that we talk about sons of God and then walk around like it, but we just don't know what might happen to us, and just, you know, just we're in pitiful shape. We need to get the Word of God and believe some things and get our condition just a little closer than that to our position. Your position gonna stay the same. You know, you can have children, and that position is that they're yours. Well, if they got a good mother and father, that's a pretty good position. That's my mom and that's my dad and all that. But man, they can get in some terrible conditions but not listening. But their position don't change. Still stay a child, don't they? The Word of God is to help our condition. Did you know one of these days and at the resurrection that this good brother was telling us about in the 11th chapter of John, when we are raised and made in a likeness to that which He's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, did you know then that my condition and my position is going to be equal? I ain't going to need the Word of God then, but boy, don't I need it now. Because my condition's a long ways down here. Sometimes my condition is so bad that I begin to wonder, do I even have a position in Christ? But then I'll get to reading the Word of God, I'm meditating on it, and my hope will sort of liven up some. Where did I get it? Listen, if the Bible ain't so, what have I got to base my faith on and my hope for a better life? You can't teach a resurrection or nothing to a man that don't believe the Bible. It's important that you believe the Bible. So it's important we have some kind of version that we could all agree on that's right. Tell you why it's important. I could have this side full of the Lord's people, and this side full of people that may be wanting. I don't know how you get them here. See, probably hog tie them and drag them in, and then you probably have to chain them down because they don't want to hear this. But I'm just supposing something, and we had some then that, and I'd have this side over here that would believe me, and this side over here that not only wouldn't believe me, couldn't believe me. Even though I was preaching truth. Well, let me show you something. In John chapter 11, Jesus not only wept, but two times he groaned in spirit. He sure wasn't groaning in spirit because Lazarus was dead. He knowed what he's going to do for Lazarus. Did you know sometimes people that's dead is in better shape than people that's alive? Old Lazarus is going to get something here in a minute, but these poor people can't believe. I know, she said, that our brother will be raised in the last day at the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He groans in spirit. Okay? He goes and he says, show me where you've laid him. They say, Lord, he stinketh. He groans again in spirit. Why is he groaning in spirit over here with his people that he loves? I see him talking now to a people that don't believe nothing he's preaching. And he looks up to heaven and said, I thank thee, O Father, that you've hid it from the wise and prudent and revealed it. Said he rejoiced in spirit. And said, I thank the old Father that you've hid it from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes, for so seemeth it good in thy sight. Over here rejoicing because they didn't believe it. Over here groaning because they didn't believe it. Listen, we're the only people that can grieve the Holy Spirit by our unbelief. And he is not at all worried about a dead aged sinner not believing him. It don't bother him at all. Thanking God and rejoicing spirit that was hid from some, and grieving in spirit to his own children that didn't believe him. Important that we hide his word in our heart. You see, and I believe it's 105 in this same chapter, 119, that he says, Thy word is a light lamp unto my feet, and a light lamp unto my path, and a light unto my feet. Somewhere it says that. You read it. You've got good eyes. I done told you where it is. Psalms 119, 105, I believe. It's not only, and that's the word, it's not only to lead us to the path of Christ, but to give us light to walk as our Lord did. It's the Word of God. How would I know that Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee had not it been for His Word? How would I know that He walked up Golgotha's hill if it hadn't been for His Word? How would I know how that I'm supposed to walk? And yet we might be like some in Isaiah when they found the old paths. He told them to seek the old paths and walk ye therein. And they said, we will not walk therein. If every sin is against God, why would we want to keep committing sin? I don't believe we do. But is anybody here that don't need no help with that problem? I don't see no hands going up. Then we all need help with the sin issue, don't we? And here we are born again and believe that heaven's going to be our home, and here got a crazy man from way up next to or somewhere in Virginia, of course y'all in Virginia, but y'all bite out of it. Not y'all ain't in Virginia much as I am. I'm deep in it, you see. If you don't believe it, come see me. And anyway, down here telling you that you got a problem with sin. Well, we have, haven't we? See, what my Bible teaches men, we need to hide that in our heart. We need to be honest in all things. Now, we hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Well, all sin's against God. And God hates sin. Show me how this would make you feel if you was God. Well, you won't never be God, but if you was, and somebody down here claiming that He my God, and knowing that sin hurts him so bad and he hates sin. And did you know he can't even look on sin with any allowance at all? He's of pure eyes unto behold iniquity and canst not look on sin. And we make our boast, we're children of God, and how we, oh, how we love Jesus. We sang it. You know, another reason you ought to hide the word in the heart, because God can see the heart. You see. You can fool me, and I can fool you, but you can't never fool God. He knows the heart. And he knows what's in the heart. And so he knows what you need. So David, inspired, said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hide this word in my heart that I might not sin against God. When we know that God hates sin and we do it anyway willingly, there ain't no more sacrifice for sin. So we need the word of God. We need to hide it in our heart. Now, if the cross and God bruising his own son, because his son had my sin on him, don't prove that God hates sin, you'll never find it out. Could you imagine God bruising his own son because of sin? When Jesus cried in that 3 hours of midnight, the reason I say that, it was at 12 o'clock. You know, I was meditating on a situation about Samson. And I have to meditate on those stories. But I was meditating on Samson, and I learned early in my ministry that all the Old Testament saints and everything in the Old Testament is either a type or anti-type of Jesus Christ. You can't have it no other way. And I saw Samson as a type of Christ, and just about as, and when I began to meditate on it, I could see him as a type all the way through his life. Somebody asked me about when Samson died. I said he was a type of Jesus Christ. Did he kill the enemies of the people of God in his death? And that's what he did when them walls come down. Them Philistines that was the enemies of Israel, they were gone. They were dead. And old Samson done it. Type of Jesus Christ in his death, taking away every enemy we got. Death and hell ain't got no more power. Then I seen him go down to a harlot's house. You see, a harlot is somebody that sells her body. And yet I find Isaiah say that we had sold ourselves for naught. And here our Lord comes down to our house. And they said, well, we're going to watch him now. We'll watch him. And we're going to lock this gate. And we're going to fix it. And he ain't going to get out. The devil said he'll never get out here. They said, kill him. They started trying to kill him from 2 years old and down. They tried to throw him down a hill headlong. As only trying to kill my Samson, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, from the time he come to us bunch of harlots. Us thieves. When I preach on a thief of cross, I preach two thieves, and they represent every man, woman, child that ever will be born. He come down, they said, now you lock, we're going to lock this gate. And when he gets up, we got him. But he got up at midnight. He got up when it was dark. Did you know that Samson done the same thing in a dark hour as my Lord did in a dark hour? He got up and he walked out and he carried the gate and the bars and all on his shoulder and he carried it out of the way. Just like my Lord, when he come out of the grave, he took the bars, the gates of hell and the grave and carried it off. They can't keep me and you. No, our Lord done that. How do we learn things like that? Hiding his word in our heart that we might not sin against God. All sin is against him. I need then to hide it in his heart that I might not sin against him. I need to hide it in my heart that I might be a better servant of Jesus Christ. You know, if we don't know what the Bible teaches us as a church to do, and I thank God for your pastor, And when he's gone, you still have got some teachings that you keep on walking in the same way. Be a lot easier for the next man that comes along. He'll teach us how to behave ourselves one with another. Did you know that ain't one, I don't believe it's one out of ten, I'll give you a whole lot of room to hang your hat this evening, that even when they studied the 16th chapter of Matthew, when our Lord talking about, I might need to go to the 18th chapter. It's one of those. But he's talking about if any of you if your brother is transgressed against you, what he's talking about, if your brother's offended you, you got to go to him. Isn't that strange? You see, if I sin against you or offend you, I done done all I need to do. I'm just going home, sleep like a baby. It's your job to come tell me that I've done that to you. How many old Baptists do that? I've had them come in. They said, "Boy, Rick, someone come, boy, one will never, yeah, yeah." And they ain't one supposed to tell me a thing about it. Go to them alone. What if our Lord, we was the one that transgressed against him, what if he'd have waited for us to come to him? We'd have never got it straight, would we? He came to us and showed us that we had offended. How would I know that? The Word of God. How do I know how to handle that? The Word of God. I even talk to people at Sugar Tree, because that's a bad thing for you to be offended at your brother, or your brother be offended at you. Somebody says something about something you done, if that offends you, he might not know it. It's nobody's business. Don't tell nobody. Go tell him. But I can show you a better way than that. Read the first verse of the 16th chapter of John. These things have I spoken that you might not be offended. In the world you'll have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Get the Word of God in your heart. Hide it in your heart. And you won't have to be offended every time somebody says a little something about you. Save you a whole lot of time of having to go to somebody, which you ain't going to do, and create another sin. Hide His Word in your heart. These things have I spoken that you might not be offended. Look, do you think our Lord was offended? He never had to go to nobody alone. They come up to him and they said, "We know you was born all together in fornication." He knows that ain't so. Why would he be offended at a little stupid somebody saying something like that? It ain't enough to offend the great man. An innocent man. He wasn't offended. They could say, "I know you cast out devils in the power of Beelzebub." He ain't offended. They ain't got enough sense to offend him. This religious world don't have enough knowledge of thus saith the Word of God to offend me. But listen. If you think it, we won't offend them when we witness to them. But wait a minute, did God give me a break on that? He said it can't help that offense come. And he said, and you can't take the offense out of the gospel. And I'll never apologize for offending you with the gospel. That's why I need to hide it in my heart. Especially if I'm going to preach it, also if I'm going to hear it. Because you might preach something that ain't the gospel. It don't offend me to where I've got to go to a man, but I'll tell you what, if a man preaches something too rotten, he ain't going to get home. I ain't going to have to see him home. I'm going to see him before he gets home and tell him what I think about it, and then that's over with, you see. But we've hid His Word now. It's important to know, thus saith the Word of God. Remember, it's inspired of God. It's profitable. Doctrine. I'll tell you one more time so you know what this gospel's all about. It's for doctrine. That tells you what's right. For reproof, that's going to tell you what's wrong. For correction, that's going to tell you how to get right. And for instruction, it'll tell you how to stay right. I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God bless you.